Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own business as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitch, how are you, buddy?
I'm good.
You're doing good? You're doing great or good?
I'm great.
Man, I love when it starts getting warm.
I know.
Oh,
shorts, flip-flops.
Love it, man. I sat on the deck today for like, so my in-laws were in picking up our old furniture for Janine's sister because she's a, you know what, I'm not going to talk about. But anyways, so I'm like, let's just sit outside for a while. And my father-in-law like doesn't drink anymore.
Yeah.
And so I got a Coors Light. He's like, hey, let me get one of those. Like, it's just a nice, sunny day. I sat out there for like an hour and a half and did nothing.
Yeah.
It was glorious.
I recently discovered Michelob Ultra Limes.
I love Michelob Ultra.
Lime. Hint of lime on there is good. It's a summer beer.
It's a summer beer. First off, all beers are summer beers.
Summer in the fridge. Summer in my hand. It's a summer beer.
I just feel like in like the factory where they make it, they have a picture of Mitch and just like, okay, we got to have like a new flavor drink for our Mitch.
I don't know. Like
you put lemon and lime flavor in beer, it makes it a summer beer.
The only beer I like with fruit in it is Corona. That's it.
Yeah.
A lime and a Corona, get out of here.
Some people don't even know that trick.
What?
Yeah, some people don't know you put a lime in a Corona.
Every commercial has a lime in the beer. Well, I don't understand. What are they doing? Just drinking it regular?
Yeah.
I don't get the Corona Light. Like, it doesn't... Dude, if you're drinking Corona, you drink an extra.
Yeah.
Like, Light, come on. It's awful.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever had a Corona Light.
It's awful. My brother likes them. Yeah. He drinks them. He's weird, though. Like, we'll be playing yard golf. Like, it's hot. So he's walking around with a bottle in the yard. Like, carrying around, like, three bottles of beer.
I'm surprised your brother doesn't have a holster to slide it down.
You know what? I'm also... Or a beer hat. Like, one or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a different cat, man.
Yeah.
He's just different.
So did you hear the news today?
Of course I heard the news today. No, I didn't. You had to text me. I was not paying attention at all.
So the Federal Trade Commission put an end to non-competes today. So anybody that was under a non-compete clause, the Federal Trade Commission has now said, nope, you can't do that.
I wonder why. Did you read any articles about it or did you just see a headline?
Yeah, no, the articles are saying it's better for the economy, it's better for the nation, and it's better for the individual. And I tend to agree.
What do you mean the individual? Like the individual that's signing the non-compete as in I'm not going
to
work?
Or being forced to sign it or being held accountable to it. So
like they're not being forced. It's their choice to sell their like when I think of non-compete, it's you've sold a business and now you can't try to steal those customers that person willingly paid you money for.
Well, so there's one caveat with this, and that is the only place a non-compete can stay is if you've sold a business but retain 25% ownership. Then you have a non-compete. But if you sell a business outright and retain no ownership, non-competes, according to this thing released today, non-competes don't even apply to that.
I don't understand. You know, they say that that's good and everything. That hurts you as a business owner trying to sell. Like,
correct.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, no one's going to try to buy, no one's going to pay what you really want or deserve because they're like, this guy's just going to steal all my customers.
Yeah, they're going to have to gamify that a little bit and figure out how to navigate that.
I do like that it takes away PE. Well, like, you know what I mean? It makes people, it keeps one company from being a huge conglomerate just because they have a lot of money. You know what I mean? So like your customers get better service when you're here.
Yeah, you know what I
mean? Other than just somebody coming in, buying up six companies like you, and then jacking up the price and having a bunch of Jimbo J-holes out there you know, working on air conditionings or
yeah.
air conditioners or snake and drains and stuff like that. Like, I like that part of it.
Well, where non-competes were being applied that I never agreed with. Like, I could always see it on the business sale thing, right?
Yeah.
You're buying a business for me. I've dominated this market for years, and you don't want me to compete against you in the market that I know very well and you are new to.
Well,
right?
And so they literally paid you money to not do it.
Yeah, they're buying a business from me, and part of what they're buying is the lack of competition from me for 3 years.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I get that.
Yeah.
But where they were being used and I don't agree with is, let's say you want to go work at ABC Plumbing Company as one of their lead sales guys.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
They would make you sign a non-compete saying you can't work in that type of role for any plumbing company within a 50-mile radius.
Yeah.
And so
which is ridiculous.
Yeah, choosing to work for them means ending your career should it not work out.
Yeah. So do you remember my friend Johnny Tracy,
mm-hmm.
drummer? He worked at County Line Auto Parts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then he left there and went to, I think it was Metro. It's on Front Street.
Yep.
Or Midtown. I think it's, I don't remember. But anyways, the people at County Line tried to tell him, you can't go there and work. You signed a non-compete.
Yeah.
And like, I had never, like what you were just saying, I had never heard of it in that situation. Like, how do you tell someone that if you fire them, they can't do that job anymore within, right. like, that's ridiculous. Like, yeah. I get that part. Like, he told me, he's like, well, show me the document.
Yeah.
And they couldn't produce it. He's like, man, I don't, like, him and I talked about it a lot. He's like, I don't remember signing anything like that. He's like, I don't think I would have done that.
Right.
Like, I would, like, if you're going to get a regular job and someone says, hey, you have to sign this non-compete, fuck that. What? Like, why would you in your right mind even think about doing that?
Yeah.
But anyways, they couldn't produce the document. He was like, even if you do, I'm still going to work here. Like, I'll see you in court. Like, right. what are you doing?
The one company that I worked for that requested my resignation after 18 months.
I love how you say it all calm and nice.
Yeah.
But like, I can tell that you're holding back, like what you really want to say.
Yeah. 10 minutes before they walked into my office and relieved me of my duties for the day, requesting my resignation. They had me sign a non-compete, non-solicit, and hold harmless.
Why did you sign it? Let me ask you that. Not to pry, but it's
like,
a podcast and it's entertainment. Why would you even sign that?
So the non-solicit I can get, that's like gentlemanly behavior to some level. Like, the non-solicit basically means if I leave you, I can't go after your people or your customers for a period of years.
What was the period, you remember?
I can't remember.
Was it one, two, something like that?
I think
that?
It was probably 3 years.
3 years. Most of them are 3 years.
But the non-solicits are so easy to get around. Like, I can't go after your people, but if I create a job ad and put it in front of your people,
and then they
and then
come
your
to you,
people call me,
yeah.
that's perfectly legal, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I was never worried about that. The non-compete, I knew non-competes never hold up in court. And so I'm like, no big deal
why
there.
Did
the
they,
hold harmless was the,
why did
the catchy
they,
one.
Why did you sign it? Like, what was your thinking? What was your process?
Well, at that point, I was already like, I hated the job. It had put me on antidepressants.
I know. That's why I'm saying you hated them. You hated the job. You were thinking about leaving anyway.
Yeah.
Why would you even, like, I would have been like, I'm not signing
up.
Like, what are you going to do? You going to fire me?
Well, when the culture is,
yeah, you know?
When the culture is that bad in organizations, it waters you down into making decisions that you probably wouldn't usually make.
That's where I was going with that.
And
they beat you down is where what I was going to say. Like, you were just like, I've had enough, whatever, just sign it.
Well,
and
when a significant majority of the employees there go on antidepressants within 3 months of their tenure there, like that's a sign that shit's not good, right?
Yeah. I would have loved to work there when I was like 28 and full of piss and vinegar and just burnt that place to the fucking ground.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I got them back. I mean,
yeah, you did.
I took plenty of their employees and plenty of their revenue and everything else. So, legally.
I mean, right? he didn't stick them up and rob them. Like, but
But I mean, they burned me for my bonus and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, But again, it was one of those things where I just didn't really care. Like, the hold harmless thing, that was the catchy one. Because it's like, you can't sue them for anything.
I forgot to start my timer again.
I saw that.
I'm 10 minutes behind,
but
by the way.
Ultimately.
Sorry, buddy.
Like, to me, the news of the FTC ending it, it's like, well, they were hardly ever enforced anyway. And so, and if they were enforced, they didn't go far.
Yeah. I can see this being one of those things where like it goes to court on in many different states, and then like they have to write new laws about the law, you know, that's okay. If it's a business sold, then it's, you know, at the discretion of, you know what I mean? Like yeah. there will be a bunch of caveats. Like this is probably just the first little wave mm-hmm. of stuff. I just, the only thing I don't like is that it hurts the small business owner that's looking to get out. Like, and I'm hoping that when I say it goes to court and stuff, and, or I think it's going to go to court and they're going to be allowed to like maintain some of that.
Right.
I think that's good for the small business owner that's 55 and he's wore out, but he's spent 25 years building this business and looking to cash out.
Like, well, it doesn't mean he can't sell his business. It just means that whoever's buying him out can't, they don't have that leverage in the agreement.
But that means he gets paid less. Potentially gets paid less.
Possibly. I'm sure that also, too, they get creative with words and language. And
yeah,
they find
probably.
Other ways to come up with the same result. It's not a non-compete.
It's like the NFL salary cap.
Yeah.
Like, we're over $20 million, but because of the wording of this and this yeah. bonus structure, we're able to snake in sideways.
Exactly.
And now
I mean,
we
lawyers
can,
are like, really good about inventing things with language. And so
that's why I hate lawyers.
I'm sure it'll come around. Like, I don't, where I see, and if the downside is the business owner looking to sell now has a little less offering because they can't come with a non-compete as well. The upside is it's great for all employees out there. Because I've never, like, I would never, ever have my guy sign a non-compete. I don't believe in
no,
them.
No, of course you wouldn't. I would crucify you on this show if you did.
Well,
that.
What's crazy is there are a lot of people that do because they just don't know any better, right? And then all
yeah,
of a sudden.
Yeah, young guys just don't. Yeah, they just don't know.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden things go south, conflict of personalities or people change or businesses change or whatever. And now it doesn't work for, like, let's just use Austin as a hypothetical. If I said you can't do videography in the KC metro area after leaving here. Like
yeah.
for one, Austin would be foolish to agree to that. But on the other side of things, that would be me as an employer knowing that I'm ending his career if it doesn't work out for me.
I think too, another perspective on this, and when you're an employee somewhere, typically you're an employee because you just want no involvement. You just want to punch in, punch out. So I could see where you have a lot of employers who could take advantage of that. And employees are like, hey, listen, I just want to clock in. What do you want me to sign? Okay, let me get to work.
Yeah.
Right. Just so wanna, I can yeah. see that's how maybe it ends up a lot of people like signing those things.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because
right.
it's like you're an employee because it's like that's the perk of being an employee is you don't have to worry about
yeah.
all this back end stuff and whatnot. Like just show me where to work and I'll work.
Right.
Let me ask you something. How do you think that affects unions?
Well, like, so unions don't really have a non-compete. Like,
well,
if
I'm
anything, they're
the
opposite of it.
I'm thinking of our two guys in Tradewinds.
Yeah.
That they were, so they were in the union. I won't say who they are. They were in the union and then started their own plumbing company.
Yep.
And the union sued them.
Yep.
Because they were competing and they had signed basically hey, if we're going to be in the union,
so
if
that,
you're going to be in, I mean, technically that's a non-compete, but that's not what it's classified as.
It's, yeah,
I'm just
it's
curious
classified
to see,
as education reimbursement. When you leave the union, go start your own thing and you haven't paid back the education that the union poured into you.
Yeah.
They sue you for the value of the education they gave you.
Yeah. At and, three times what they think it's actually worth.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
and so, yes, it can be a non-compete because they're basically saying you can't leave here, but it's really because you got an educational loan from the union.
Yes.
And so there's actually a non-union company here in town that does that. And you sign an agreement that you will not leave for 2 years. And they actually have in the agreement the value of their education. And it says that if you work with us for 2 years, this is gone. If you leave inside of 2 years, you owe all of this. And I don't know how that's going to, like I totally see what you're saying. That navigates into the non-compete thing because yeah. they're locking people in for 2 years. But it's not necessarily a non-compete as much as it is they're loaning you the money for the education.
Protection of investment.
Yeah. And then they're ensuring that they get paid back.
And that's what I mean.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
Like, that's a good example of what I mean by, like, it's going to go to court and people are going to challenge this stuff and they're going to have to rewrite this law like 75 times
right.
to try to mitigate. But they're so, like what you were saying, they're going to try to mitigate all that stuff. But then lawyers are going to write ways around it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
then there's going to be this. And all it's going to do is convolute what they're trying to do. Like, and that's why I don't want to get off topic, but that's why I hate government red tape. Like, it's so thick already.
Yeah.
And then when they do things like this, like they think that they're helping or whatever, all you're doing is making more red tape.
Yeah, it's
and
seven
all
more
you're
layers.
Doing all you're doing is charging is making people pay for attorney's fees to try to protect themselves. Like it's just like, how much can there be?
Yeah.
Like, at what point are we all like, dude, seriously, we got to start over?
Yeah.
Like, there's just so much. It drives me insane.
And there's a lot of people in business that think they have to run everything by an attorney. And
I don't.
Yeah, I don't. I don't either.
Right? I just guess, man. And I look it up online, and if I'm really worried, like if I think it's going to be criminal, okay, I'll talk to him.
Well, and yeah, your moral compass is going to guide you on most of that. But like, man, if I ran every big decision by an attorney, for one,
I'd be broke.
I'd be broke, right? Because yeah, I'd have a hell of an attorney bill.
No money.
And it doesn't mean I'm not going to get sued.
No, you can still get
sued. It just means I had one professional person say, yeah, that looks pretty good.
That looks...
Attorneys sue attorneys all the time.
I love your words. That looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, it looks okay.
Yeah.
Like, are you going to put your name on that, Mr. Attorney, that says,
right.
hey, if something happens, I'll have this guy's back?
Yeah.
Like, no.
It's like Missouri is a right-to-work state. And so that, like, essentially you can fire somebody for any reason you want, right? Now, it doesn't mean they can't sue you. It doesn't prevent you from getting sued.
Yeah.
It just means that if I decide for one day that Austin's not a good fit, like I don't have this whole process I have to do. I can just choose one day that Austin, you're gone. Right?
And that's how, let's be honest, that's how it should be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that allows the people that work hard and care to rise to the top.
Yeah.
Like, because the other people are being filtered out.
Yeah,
it creates. I don't mean Austin. Caitlin's face looks like she's going to throw up. Austin, get fired tomorrow. Yeah. Austin's not getting fired.
It creates good, healthy competition. It creates people that are always looking to push on and push forward. And if you are legally held to a job because they can't legally fire you.
Yeah, you're a loser, probably.
That's miserable on all sides.
And it's just like that doesn't create, you know, everyone wants this. Like utopia of we're going to give everyone a chance. And after your first three screw ups, you can still keep that job and you can still, all that does is create apathy.
Yeah.
And like, you don't come up with inventions and you don't push society forward and you don't, you know, have great accomplishments when things are that way.
Right.
Like, what drives great pharmaceutical cancer drugs is money. For one,
competition. Yeah.
For the money. Like, dude, like that is what makes, like, that's what makes this country great.
Right.
And people seem to have kind of like lost the thought process of that's how those things have occurred and that's how we've gotten to where we are. And they're like, okay, no, now that we're here, let's bring everybody up.
Right.
No, because then you just fall off the edge and it's a shit show. You can't do that.
It's kind of funny how everyone who's for socialism got, you know, they're capitalists.
Oh, I know. it's insane to me. I don't want to change subjects.
They benefited from capitalism. Sorry. Should clarify that.
That's why your parents are rich and you can be a liberal retard and want socialism.
Right.
Because they're paying all your bills.
And feed off that old money or something.
it's just insane to me.
Yep.
It's insane.
Yeah. I mean, competition is what drives the world, right? Without competition, we don't go anywhere. And so I like the non-compete being lifted because it promotes competition, right? Now a guy's going to have to take better care of his employee because he could leave and go somewhere else and be competing against him, right? Now a guy's going to have to think long and hard about buying a business because now he can't buy a business and buy out the competition because that guy could just start up another business.
Well, and that's what I meant by the PE. Yeah. Like it limits them, and I do like that. Like it doesn't, it's harder for them to just come in and snake all these companies up and keep them running because those guys literally, like guys like you, like if PE rolls in here tomorrow and said, Mitch, I'll give you $5 million and there's no compete, Mitch is like, okay.
Right.
And then he starts Smedley Plumbing 2. Or whatever you choose.
Right.
And all your guys leave them. Gunner come plumbing. To you. Gunner Plumbing. That'd be good.
You knew exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So I like that aspect. I really do. I think that's great.
Yeah. I think it's good all the way around. I'm just going to see. Like, it'll be interesting to see how it plays through with everything.
Yeah. It'll be very interesting. I won't bring up specifics, but I've actually been thinking about starting a couple of new companies with just the thought of getting them rolling and selling them.
Mm-hmm.
I've been meaning to ask you what you thought about
this. A true entrepreneur.
Like I've
create businesses. And I sell literally businesses.
Have been thinking of, I won't say what they are until if I do it, but on the show, but like
I've seen your feet. They're not going to sell well.
I've first off, you know what? No comment.
Well, like to that, like I have a friend that he loves building PCs, but every time I ask him, like he'll finish it. Yeah, I finished it and sold it and bought another one. Like he doesn't actually love the finished product. He loves building PCs. And so that's why I believe there are some people who love the business and some people, they just love the act of building businesses up, selling them, doing it over again.
I think it excites me a little bit to do it. So I'm thinking about doing it. I don't know. What do you think?
No? There's
do
that.
It.
Well, do it.
Well,
there's also great. That. There's great. Also that thing.
Do you want to? You want to get in with me?
We'll see.
That's what I thought.
I gotta learn what these ventures are first.
Well, there's also that thing too. Like you do it once, and you're like, let me see if I can do it again, and then you get like this sort of like momentum going, and you're like, hey, like,
Well, I have time now.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, what do I want to do? What do I want to push for?
I just see Dave walking in the street and you see a lemonade stand with two little kids. Like, hey, how much? you start from the bottom.
That's good.
Bought out a lemonade stand today. I'm going to make it big, bitch.
You work your way up. I will sell you my client book for my lemonade stand.
Yeah.
20%, 5%.
$27. Yeah. Kids, get out of here. I'll buy all this for you right now. $27.
Well, that's it's a satire video, like they're created, but you got two people with like fruit stands next to each other and they're both selling watermelons and one person's got them priced at $15 a piece and the next person's got them priced at $20 a piece. And so the person with 20, like obviously the person with 15, somebody walks up and buys a watermelon. So the person with them priced at 20 is like, well, damn, I can't compete with that. So they price them, they undercut them and go down to $10 a piece.
Yeah.
And so now somebody walks up and buys one of theirs for $10 a piece. Well, now the $15 a piece guy looks back and was like, well, crap, I can't compete with that. So he takes the money that he's made and he buys all of the rest of the guy's watermelons for $10.
And then
He throws out a new sign, watermelons, $25 a piece.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's the only guy there.
And he's the only guy selling them, right? So he bought out the competition.
Yeah.
And he didn't have them sign a non-compete. But
you know what we call that?
Capitalism. Right.
Get it, baby. And
probably a monopoly of some kind, but you never know.
Because
he's not the only guy in town with the watermelons. Yeah. Like, it's not a monopoly, you know?
It could be worse. It could be like a famous computer company that literally engineered bugs into their computer system and then sold you antivirus software.
What are we talking about?
Microsoft.
Oh, did they do that?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Microsoft makes all their money on antivirus software because they engineer bugs. They engineer a system that's susceptible to bugs, and then they sell you antivirus software to keep it from getting bugged.
That's why you should have an iPhone, Mitch.
Right.
Well, I've used Macs, and I've never had, you know, all of a sudden in college, well, I have my Mac. Macs are
resistant to viruses.
Yeah, and so like I'll have all my friends, download this software. I'm like, dude, just get a Mac.
Yeah.
Like,
dude, just get a
instead,
Mac.
Instead, they just make you pay for cloud storage, iCloud storage.
Hey, I'll take it. I'd rather do that.
I will say this. Like, so I have an iPhone. I don't have a Mac. Mac computers suck. Okay, they're awful.
Hey, now.
They suck. I'm sorry. I love you. They freaking suck. Anyways, I've never had a virus like crash my computer. I ran Windows Vista, the worst Windows software ever. I ran for like 10 years. My brother still doesn't know how I did it. Like Mr. Technology, unsavvy, like rough end guy.
It's not technology unsavvy. You're lazy when it comes to technology. And so once you figured out Vista, you didn't want to change.
You're damn right.
You're stubborn. Not lazy, stubborn. You are stubborn when it comes to technology.
You're right. I am stubborn. But like, I kept that thing running for 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, I just upgraded to 10 like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
My brother's like, I don't even know how, like, this is the most junk software ever. I don't know how your computers are still running.
Yeah.
I didn't care. I was like, as long as it works, who gives a shit?
I do think, like, the update sort of culture has gone out of hand because, like, I'm a gamer and I used to be able to buy a game and you had the full game. Now they'll sell you a game for like $60 and you get the game and it's only halfway there. Like, oh, like, you know, yeah, a year from now, we're going to launch this feature that we told you was going to be in the game. And
everything
it's like,
is moving to subscriptions. Like, we talked about it on the last show about...
I was going to say, we just talked about this.
Yeah, we talked about, like, your navigation as a subscription in your car and stuff like that. Well, now some of our high-performance cars, I think Dodge does this. Don't quote me on this. I think it's Dodge. Like, if you want the red key, which makes, like, unlocks all the power, it used to be a physical key that you had to buy.
Now it's a subscription.
Now it's a subscription. And so if you don't pay your monthly payment for your extra horsepower, they detune your car remotely, and now your car is slower.
First off, that's horseshit. When you buy a vehicle, it should be like, stop.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
Right.
Dude, and I will say this, like those Dodge cars, those ones like
Hellcat,
the Demons and Hellcats, dude, those are badass. Like, yeah. I would
like
really.
8 second miles?
Yeah. Like, dude,
my truck's in the shop right now, and I'm driving Danielle's Jeep.
Yeah.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Throaty V8, 6.4 liter Hemi V8. Like,
yeah.
Rumbles. Yeah.
I like, dude.
That's kind of fun.
Like, I keep thinking about getting a new truck and stuff. Like, I love my truck.
Yeah.
It's got a 6.2 in it. It doesn't weigh anything.
Yep.
And when you stomp on the gas, like, that thing, I bet you it's as fast as my Camaro was or really close.
Yeah, probably.
Especially, like, the first two gears. After that, no. But, like... It's great.
Dude, that Lightning is the fastest thing I've ever driven 0 to 60 because it's all-wheel drive. So
it's not faster than your bike.
0 to 60, it might be.
You think?
Yeah, because
it's
got to
be so close.
You're not fighting for traction and you're not, like, a bike, you're worried about traction and wheeling out, right?
Yeah,
that's true. The Lightning, you just
hammer it
in sport
and go.
Mode and floor it.
I will be honest. Like, when I got in it the first time, you're like, no, like, and you punched it. Like, it has some serious torque.
Yeah.
Like, it'll put you into the seat.
Yeah. It's only to 60, though. Like, up over 60, it's not all that fast.
Yeah, it's a dog.
Yeah.
That's why I really would like to drive one of those E-Rays. So, Corvette, like, it's half electric, and then it's got I don't remember if it's a turbocharged or a supercharged V6 on top of it. Like, so you get off the line, and then when you start getting up there, that gas engine takes over. Like, that's got to be fun as shit to drive.
I'm telling you, we are so close to such cool technology with cars. Like, we already have it, but, like... Like this whole EV versus gas thing and everyone argues.
Hybrid is the thing.
Dude, not even
hybrid. Hybrid is the thing.
Like Ram is coming out with, they're calling it the Ram Charger. And it's an all electric platform with a gas powered generator that runs to charge the batteries while you drive.
I mean, that's cool and all, but I want high end performance.
Yeah.
Like that Ferrari that's all electric, dude. You know that's got to be fun to drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to get a Ferrari, man.
Well, and
it's eating my brain.
Everyone's teased about this. No one has proof, but the Tesla Roadster that's coming out, their
fast one that they came out with like 5 years ago is still impressive as shit.
We saw.
Type S Plaid?
It's like Plaid.
The Tesla Plaid. Yeah.
Is it Plaid Type S?
No, the actual Tesla Roadster that like nobody's ever seen. Like the one they put in space.
Oh, yeah.
So nobody's really ever seen those in the real world.
No, because it was junk when they launched the one into space.
When we went to San Francisco over the summer, there's a dude driving one around.
Really?
And it's like not in great shape. Like he drives it.
Like he's driving the shit out of it.
The bumper's got, like, the bumper had a big old tear in it. Like it looked like every other car you see on the streets of San Francisco.
He's been riding the shit out of that thing.
Like, I looked at Mason's like, oh my gosh, that guy's trashed that car. I'm like, no, he took the Carroll Shelby approach.
Yeah.
Carroll Shelby is like, drive the fucking piss out of it, right? Like,
I would like to have an old Cobra. That'd be so cool.
Don't build and make these cars just to pamper it and save it for the next guy. That's like not fucking your girlfriend, so the next guy gets the better action. And no, you drive the shit out of it now.
I don't think that's the saying. I think the saying is, You know what? I don't want to say what this saying is because Kalen's in here.
No, David, just a lot to process of everything they just said. He's like, wait.
Let's I just don't want to offend
anyone. I'm just saying, like, every car I've had, like, I've never worried about.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every $10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Resale value or preserving it for the next guy.
No. Dude, that Camaro.
I buy it to enjoy it for me. That's and whatever's left, yeah. The next guy can have.
Yeah. The 68 Camaro we have, like, you know, everyone, you know, you would think you would want to drive that slow and baby it and all this. Hell no.
Slide it around corners.
Like, it doesn't handle all that great.
Yeah.
But it brakes real well and it's fun to go through the gears. Like, I'm driving it because it's fun.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have that to have it. Right. We have it to drive it and enjoy it. And if I got to dump some money into it to resell it later, who cares?
Right.
Like, I'm not saving it so that when I die, it's in pristine shape.
Right.
You know, this is the money talk. Like, we both know someone that works insanely hard and is a complete nutbag, lives in a, like, it's his house is falling apart. The guy's worth like $25 million. His house is literally falling apart. Doesn't care.
Right.
I have this debate with him all the time. I'm like, dude, why do you have all this money?
Yeah.
His joy is having the money. I'm like, the whole point of having the money is to spend the money and do cool shit.
Yeah, enjoy it.
Like, what's the whole...
But maybe he gets enjoyment of just looking at the bank account.
That's what I've decided is, like he goes home and gets the statement out and jerks off. Like, I don't... Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what he's doing. Like, he just enjoys seeing...
Ten
the
figures.
Commas. Yeah, and I keep telling
three
him, like...
Three commas.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, you know what happens, like, when there's an apocalypse, right? Like, all those... don't mean anything.
Yeah.
Like, it's empty.
Yeah.
Like, it's zero.
Apocalypse,
like,
can't take your 68 Camaro. Might not have gas for it, but they can't take it.
First off, I have a still and I can run ethanol. I am pretty sure I could run that car on that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it may not be real fast, but I could still think I could still run it.
It's kind of like whenever you had as a guitar player, you get a new guitar and you're like, I don't want to get a scratch on it. And then all of a sudden you get a scratch on it. Like, okay, cool. Like, I'm just going to play the crap out of it.
Yeah. That's exactly me. I've never bought a brand new guitar.
Yeah.
Because of, not true. I bought one for my wife and she never played it. And then I gigged the shit out of it. And
you just sort of like lose the protective nature. And then all of a sudden, you enjoy it more after you get the scratch or the bump. And
completely agree with that. 100% agree with that statement.
My truck, Danielle and I were driving it to an event. I don't know. It had less than 10,000 miles on it when this happened. And, it was like an event where you bring food. And so Danielle makes candied yams and, you know, we put the Corningware dish in the back, like on the floor in the back and driving along. Well, I didn't realize that the dish was like damn near over full and it just had foil on top.
Yeah.
And so by the time we get there, it had sloshed all the candy, everything had sloshed out and gone into the carpet.
Did you lose it? Were you mad?
No, I mean, we were
like, just pretty laid back.
Well, we were like a minute and a half late to the event. And so I'm just worried about getting in there. And Danielle's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, it didn't like.
Yeah. I'll shampoo the carpet. It's fine.
It doesn't matter. Right.
Yeah.
And so, but then by the time the event's over, all the candy's now dried and it's like super hard and crusty in the carpet. And so, you know, she's like super apologetic and everything else. And I'm like, babe, like, you've seen our kids. Like, our kids are like nothing but a dirt clod with a booger hanging out of them. Like,
first off, your kids, I love your kids. Like, the trip to Breckenridge was very eye-opening for me.
Yeah.
Like, I just have the daughter.
Yeah.
I wish I had a son sometimes. And then I saw yours and I was like, no, I'm good.
I'm good.
They stink.
Yeah, they stink. You're like begging them to take a shower. And then you're like,
I love those kids, like my own boys.
When is the last time you took a shower?
Yeah.
Was it even this week?
Yeah.
And then like fingernails, like, dude,
I know, man.
Fingernails are like a weekly thing, not a biannual thing.
I don't understand. Like, this is the one weird thing about Layla. Like, her fingernails are always dirty.
Yeah.
Like, she
plays outside all the time.
Yeah, she does. But I'm like, babe, you have to clean them. She will like do this. Why? Yeah. And I'm like, Layla.
They're just going to get dirty again.
You're disgusting. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm like, you, baby, come on.
Did you guys hear it today? Danielle got the boys' haircut appointments for tomorrow.
And no, Mason's, I didn't hear it.
Oh, Mason's like, what the? I don't even know what kind of style I want before tomorrow. Like even getting them to cut their hair is hard. So, man, it's just boys is what it is.
I don't want to, like, tear off on Mason because I love Mason. But I think he's a little...
Mama's boy?
He's,
catered to?
He's not gay. What's the... We used to call Mike...
Feminine?
No, we used to call Mike Van Dyke this. He's,
like
a metrosexual.
No, yes.
That's
yes.
What we called Mike Van Dyke.
Yes. Yeah. He is. Like, he's a little sensitive. And he's like, Mom, Mom. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm like, that one day I came in here and I could hear him. Mom, I don't... I was like, dude, you're a boy.
Yeah.
Stop. What are you doing, bro?
Part of it with boys, when they hit their growth spurt, they're growing out of clothes so fast.
Yeah, he's a little gangly.
Like, yeah. They're trying to figure out what clothes fit and what clothes don't. And then, like, clothes that fit a month ago don't fit now.
Yeah.
Like Grant's, like, in it right now.
Yeah.
Grant's grown, he's like, an inch up. And a quarter or 3 months. Like, it's crazy.
I wonder how tall he's going to be.
I don't know. Who knows?
I don't remember Mason. Was Mason?
Mason's been steady Eddie the whole time.
I was going to say, I don't remember him ever having, like, just
he's
a
taller
huge,
than me now.
Giant growth spurt. Like, he's just been...
Mason's a full-on 6'1", and I'm 6'1".
And I think Grant's been, like, Grant has been short, and now he's getting ready to just take off.
Yeah.
It's going to be funny when, like, Grant has a little more edge. Yeah. It'll be funny when they get older. I think Grant's going to beat his ass.
Oh, yeah. No, we've already warned Mason. You're going to get your ass handed to you.
I think Grant's got a little edge to him, and he's, you know, like, hey, dude.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to get a little older and be like, I'm going to knock your fucking teeth out.
Right now, Mason's got the upper edge because...
he's twice as tall as him.
Well, and two Wednesdays ago... Mason got home from school. The weather was great. And so Mason and I went out on the boat. No, it was last Wednesday. Mason and I went out on the boat.
Yeah, for just a couple hours.
Yeah,
yeah,
just
an
hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah, I saw your post. I was like, what is this guy doing?
Mason got up on a wakeboard for the first time.
Nice.
And so now he's done more than Grant on the boat. And Mason can already drive the boat because Grant's not legally allowed to. He's too young.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's edging Grant out there. I can't wait. Like, Grant skateboards.
Yeah, when he gets up on that board, he's gonna kill it.
He's gonna pass.
He's gonna be freaking
Mason.
Killing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's gonna be cool.
It's funny. I took Layla fishing. I don't know. Last Saturday, yep. I took her Saturday. I let her drive the boat. I don't care. She's 11.
Yeah, I don't like. I'll let Grant drive it.
Granted, it's a 15 year old fishing boat. Like, it's a nice boat. It's not a big deal. Like, if she crashed into something, it's not.
Yeah, but I'll let Grant drive it. But I won't let Grant drive it while it's making a wake. Like, with a surfer on the back of it or something. Like, I won't let
you don't
him...
want him to get hurt somebody.
Well, and you got a lot to pay attention to.
Yeah.
You got to watch the surfer or the wakeboarder, and you got to watch out in front of you.
Yeah. Does it have a big old mirror on it that you can see him to?
Yeah, you're required to legally.
No, I know. But, like, it's not a little. Like, it's a big...
Yeah, it's 14 inches. Okay, it's good. The legal requirement. And it's got a rear view camera.
Oh, that's
cool. Which doesn't make your legal requirement, but the rear view camera is so freaking cool. You can see so much better with that.
Does it have a screen on it?
Yeah.
How big is it?
I don't know, 11 inches. It's like a tablet.
Gotcha.
It's huge.
Gotcha.
So the only thing with the rear view camera is you can't, right when you first start, there's so much white water in front of the camera, you can't see the skier.
Oh,
so you have to be using the mirror to see if they actually pop up. And then once the boat gets kind of planed out a little bit, it never really planes out when you're towing a skier, but
no.
Once it planes out,
it to be
a little,
sunk.
Yeah, once it planes out just a little bit, then the white water goes down, and you can actually watch them on the camera. It's pretty cool.
I don't want to. We have a lot of stuff to talk about, but I do have some more questions. How do you surf? Is there a short rope, and then you get started, and then you just let go of the rope?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you sit in the water with your feet propped up on the board. The board's flat on the water, and your feet are propped up on it, like your heels are.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the boat starts going forward, the board will flip up against your feet automatically. And then you pop up just like you would a wakeboard.
Oh, okay.
And the surfboards are bigger, so you can actually stand up at a slower speed. And then you get into the wave. And then you get your rope length set right to where it's not too long and not too short. And then it's just you put weight on your front foot and you go forward, you put weight on your back foot and you go backwards. And so it's just a matter of finding that balance to where you stay in the wave and then you throw the rope into the boat.
Yeah.
And
I think I'm going to like wakeboard more. Like, I've wakeboard before, but man, it's been like 15 years.
Yeah. Falling, when you fall surfing, it's the most gentle thing ever. When you fall wakeboarding, because that thing's attached to your feet.
It's just like snowboarding. You catch that edge and you shit whip.
Yeah.
But it's water and not hard ground. So it's a little softer, but.
Yeah, it's water at 20 miles an hour versus hard ground at 20 to 40 miles an
hour. The worst is when you can't cover your face. Yeah. And the water, I think we talked about it. Like the water just penetrates your eyeballs and they are wide open.
Yeah.
Like that hurts.
Well, and I have an allergy to lake water.
How do you have an allergy to lake water?
I don't know.
What does it matter with you?
I've had it.
You're
for
an enigma. Yeah. Do you know that?
I've had it for like 10 years. Remember we used to go out on my dad's pontoon boat and jump off the top and dive?
Great, great, fun time.
Yeah. There was 1 year all of a sudden
those times.
Diving off the top of the board or diving off the top of the boat, like a day or two later, I've got the worst sinus infection I've ever had. And it took me like two or three times of this to realize that they were connected to two or three days after we were out on the water.
Was it just Lakewood Lake or is it every lake?
It's every lake. So like,
it's so weird.
So two or three weeks ago, we were out and I was wakeboarding and I took a couple of hard tumbles and got a whole bunch of water in my nose.
So do you going to start wearing the little,
no, I just tough it out, take some Allegra and throw the leg in the cooler and hand me a beer. Would you?
Oh my God. I am looking forward to it, but it's gotta be warm.
It's going to be fun to watch Layla figure out how to surf and everything.
Dude, she's super competitive.
Yeah.
And she's strong. I think she'll probably be fine.
She'll pick it up.
Yeah.
She'll be good.
She picked that snowboarding up pretty quick.
Yep.
So I still have to have Austin edit my videos.
Bigger surfboard, like I could have her or you, either which, if you figure out how to surf, you could have her do this. You two people like basically I'm laying on my back in the water.
Yeah.
And she's like right in between my legs. Like her back is on my chest and her feet are inside my feet on the board.
Oh, okay.
And then whenever the boat goes, because she's rested up against my chest, she would just stand up with me.
Oh, interesting.
And then she's on the board with me. And so that would teach like
teaches them how to do it.
My boys are too big. Layla might be too big. But like I've seen a ton of videos of people doing this with smaller children where they do it that way. And that's how that kid learns the feel of like, okay, the board goes forward and you speed up and the board goes backward and you slow down. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
I am really looking forward to it.
And we've got it all set up. Like we're ready to host tons of people this year. Like it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be, I'm ready for the event. The Tradewinds event's going to be fun too.
It's going to be badass.
Someone actually bought lodging today.
So. I know.
Won't be long.
So we've got, so for our listeners that aren't in Tradewinds, which is most of you.
No, it's not.
We're having a, most of our listeners aren't in Tradewinds.
Oh, okay. I thought you said it the other way. Yeah. I apologize. I misheard. So
we're having a Tradewinds members only event at Lake of the Ozarks here in like two or three months. And it's going to be badass. So if you want to go, you have to become a member of Tradewinds in order to go.
Yeah.
But it's going to be,
I'm still worried that
2 days, two nights. All kinds of boating, all kinds of business talk.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be good.
I can't decide if it's going to fill up real quick and we're going to have to get that. I hope it fills up quick enough where we have to get the house soon.
Yeah.
The third house. We rented two houses, but.
We rented two. We got a third one on the hook if we need it. We'll see.
Man, can you imagine? People are going to hate us in that cove.
Nah.
Won't be yeah, that they wild. Are. You ever seen Dave in the summertime drink a beer?
We'll be good.
We'll be
well-behaved gentlemen.
Speak for yourself, bro.
I'll be a well-behaved gentleman.
I might be. I'll give you might. What else do you want to talk about,
dude? Let's change gears here. One of the most common questions we get and one of the most common questions you see online is how much should I charge for blah, 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 insert whatever repair.
As much as you
here.
Freaking can.
Right? And so I figure we can take some time and talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Let's break it down just a little.
As a one-man show, you have very little to no overhead. You probably don't have a shop. You're probably working out of your garage and all of that stuff. And so that gives you the ultimate power to charge whatever you want because you're probably going to make money charging whatever you want.
You're going to make money no matter what you're charging.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. And so let's say the big competitors in town are on flat rate pricing and they're charging $500 an hour. Well, you could get on flat rate pricing and charge $250 or $300 an hour and just friggin' kill it, right?
Yeah.
Now, I don't recommend that.
No.
But you could.
I'll just 100% transparency. When I was a one-man shop, I charged what the I don't think I should say their name. The other big plumbing HVAC company in Blue Springs.
Yep.
You know who he is. Mm-hmm. You've been to his house. I charged what they charged.
Yeah.
I charged what...
And that's what you should.
Yeah. Just because I didn't have overhead or didn't have employees doesn't mean that I was any less of a tech than their best tech.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm still providing the same service. I'm still providing the same value. Mm-hmm. Like, I should be making the same money as the big companies if I'm as good.
Yeah.
And that's how I always looked at it, and I always charged that.
Yeah.
Like, that's just... On change outs, I was actually more expensive because on change outs, I didn't get the equipment at the same rates as them, but I wanted to make the same profit mm-hmm. per job. So I was actually more expensive, but they got more of a one-on-one experience with me mm-hmm. Than just having a couple of Joe Blow installers out there, you know, putting their stuff in.
Right.
So I hate when I see one-man shops or one guy and a helper or just two guys. Well, we don't have as much overhead, so we cut them a break. Why?
Why?
You're trying to grow your business. You're trying to get to 5 trucks, 6 trucks. The only way to do that is to start your pricing out where it's going to be when you have 5 or 6.
And to stack paper.
Yeah.
Like, you got to...
Yeah.
Those 5 or 6 trucks don't show up.
No.
Just on hopes and dreams. Like, somebody has to pay for them, and you pay for them with profits that you're making charging the appropriate amounts.
It's almost like they think that profit is some kind of dirty word. Profit is not a dirty word. Every company in America, their goal is to make profit.
Right.
Okay? If they don't have profit and aren't growing, like, I don't like the saying of, if you're not growing, you're dying, because that's not true. Like, it's not a linear, growth is not linear.
Right.
You know, it's up and down.
It's stair steps.
Yeah. It's all kinds of weird, different things. Like, over the long haul, if you're not growing, you are dying. But if you're not stacking that money away to grow, what is the freaking point?
Right.
You might as well work for somebody, get benefits, retirement, not have to answer the phone at night.
Right.
Like, if you're doing it for a paycheck, like, there's no point to that.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, it drives me crazy, man.
We see a lot of people that, you know, quit and start their own thing, and they immediately become satisfied with making just a little bit more money than they were when they were working for somebody else.
Yeah, instead of making 75, they make 95.
Yeah, but now you have all the risk, you have all the headaches, you have all the responsibility, you have all the everything.
Yeah, and, you're answering the phone at 10:30 at night. I mean,
don't get me wrong, a $20,000 a year pay increase is nice, but you're going to get burned out real fast.
Yeah. Right?
And so
that's what we talk about in Tradewinds all the time.
I've had this conversation with numerous people about, like, you got a one-man show that's conflicted and he doesn't want to charge what the big shop in town is charging. And so I simply break it down to him like this. I'm like, hey, that big shop in town, how many years of experience do you think their plumbers have? Oh, they're pretty green, maybe 2 or 3. Okay, how many years of experience do you have? Oh, 15.
Yeah, okay. Why should you be doing it for less?
And
hello?
What kind of service do you think they're giving their customers? Well, I don't know. They got a 4.6 Google rating and I got a 5.0. Okay. So let's just on those two things right there alone, you're getting somebody with 5 times the experience and that delivers a better service.
Yeah.
Why in the world would a customer be upset about paying the same amount for more experience and better service?
Well, these people, it's like they feel guilty. You know,
yeah.
The customer doesn't know that you work out of your house unless you tell them. The customer doesn't know that your overhead is super low. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter at all.
Like, doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter if the customer knows or not. The value of the job is not determined by the profit you make. The value of the job is determined by the amount of money the customer is willing to spend for that repair. And so we have a lot of plumbers that listen to this show. Let's just say the value of a water heater replacement is $2,000. Okay. I'm just pulling that number out of thin air. Let's just say it's $2,000. Well, your big corporate company's got a lot of overhead. They got a lot of insurance. They got a lot of office. They got office buildings. They got parking lots. They got all this stuff. So they're actually making less money doing that water heater for $2,000. Than you could doing that water heater for $2,000 working out of your shop or out of your garage, which is your shop, right? And you don't have parking lots, you don't have offices, you don't have all this office staff, you don't have everything. However, That doesn't mean that you should do that water heater for $1,200 and make the same amount of money, the same amount of profit that the big company is at $2,000.
Yeah.
You should like that in the customer's eyes, the water heater's worth $2,000.
Yeah.
So do it for $2,000, knock their socks off with service, get a 5-star Google review.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is FieldPulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using FieldPulse. So if you'd like to check out FieldPulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
And count cash, baby.
And stack that paper. Like, this is why you did this. And you're not ripping them off either. Ripping them off would be charging them $4,000 when everyone else in town is charging $2,000, right?
Yeah.
And ripping them off would also, and I don't even want to discredit that. If you can pull off $4,000 and a happy customer, you're not ripping them off. They're happy. So
yeah.
In the argument there is like, I can go buy a 4-door car for like $22,000 brand new, or I can go buy a 4-door Porsche for $122,000 brand new. Does that mean Porsche's ripping me off? No, it means I chose to spend the extra money because I saw value there.
Yeah.
Right. So if I could sell that same water heater for $4,000 and the customer's wildly happy with it, nobody ripped anybody off.
Yeah.
Customer was happy to spend the money. That's a win all the way around. Like, if you make money and the customer's happy, that's a win.
Yeah. Let me tell you a mistake I made. I never, ever should have done this. And I don't think I've ever brought this up on the show. Like, when I first started out, I would tell people, oh, it's just me. I'm just working out of my garage, blah, blah, blah. Don't say that. It doesn't matter what you think you're doing when you say that, but what they think and what they hear is you can do it cheaper.
Right.
Okay. They think that they can now negotiate with you on prices.
Right.
I battled that for the first 2 years. I bet the first 2 full years.
Yeah.
Until I realized I got to stop saying stuff and just be professional. And you know what I mean? Like, there were certain customers I did that, like, they knew me, we were friends, you know, things like that. But like, I would just, you know, I was proud that I was on my own and working out of my house. So I just ran my mouth. That was a mistake.
Yeah,
because I don't know if I lost a lot of work, but it was a lot of headache.
You just lost dollars.
I think I might have lost some work because people were like, "Well, why should I pay that guy the same?"
Yeah,
even though like we understand what mm-hmm. our value is, but they didn't at the, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and so I like immediately shot myself in the foot those first 2 years.
Yep.
And had to deal with a ton of headaches with people. Oh, well, I'll, you know, if you can do it for this, I'll do it for this. Like, I didn't cave to that, but it was like, you know, it was just something I shouldn't have had to deal with and a hard lesson that I had to learn.
I was the exact opposite.
Do that.
So like, I learned a long time ago to replace the word I with the word we, whenever you're talking about anything that involves people, right?
Yeah.
Like, micromanagers will be like, I got our team to perform.
No.
And a good leader says we performed well.
Yeah.
Right.
As a team, we did well this quarter.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you are supposed to say.
Yeah. And so that was just ingrained into me forever. And so when we started our company, it was just me and my wife. And my wife didn't even really want to do anything with the company. Like, she did it because she kind of didn't have a choice.
Didn't want to work.
But she wasn't all that excited about it.
Didn't want to waitress anymore.
Right. Right. I got her out of serving it.
She didn't want
Johnny's Tavern.
You know, she didn't want to do that stuff anymore. Yeah. And she was like, well, what's the lesson of two evils?
Yeah, this is better than that.
Do I want to deal with them or my husband?
Yeah.
Did she think about it? I don't know.
Yeah. So now we're off and running and it's just the two of us. And I would always say we. Yeah. Like, we have a special going on. We'll get you taken care of. Call into the office. She'll get you taken care of. I never told people that it was my wife in the office. And I never told people that I owned the company. My business cards didn't even have my last name on them. The name of the company, Smedley Plumbing. My business cards just said Mitch, comma, Master Plumber. And so, there, I mean, countless customers would, some, like, if they would ask, I would just, I wouldn't lie, right? Yeah. And so they would be like, are you a Smedley? And I'm like, yep, Mitch Smedley. And they're like, oh, does your dad own the company?
Yes.
And I'd be like... Well, I wouldn't lie. And I'd be like, no, I own it. Oh, well, why didn't you say that? Well, I don't know. I just,
yeah, I'm
it's
here.
It's not
for,
a flex.
Yeah.
Like, it just, yeah.
And that's what I was doing. I was, you know, I was like, oh, it's mine. You know, that was the wrong thing to do.
Yeah. And there were so many people, and still to this day, people will reach out online. People will come and check us out or whatever. And to this day, they see how simple our operation is. And they're like, wow, I thought it was much bigger than this. And it's because I talk about we, and I show, like, I show bigger imagery of the company.
Yeah.
Just because that's what customers want to see. Customers don't necessarily want the one man show coming in.
I mean, there some do, but it's a small percentage.
Some do, and I'll be like, there's a red flag that goes up when you have that customer that's wanting side work, like wanting that kind of guy that's coming in under the radar.
Well, it's because they want to get off cheap.
They think they're getting off cheap, but that's also, like, think about it. A customer is starting a relationship on, like, an unethical stance.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. That doesn't bother me too much.
It doesn't bother me, but, like, those are the customers that are problematic.
They can be, yeah.
And so I didn't
Well, they're ever, the ones that are going to, you're going to have to deal with price on a lot, you know.
I didn't ever want that. So I always just approached it as, we will get you taken care of, call into the office. And I can, there was a day where my wife got pissed off because I was always trying to do everything, and somebody would call me or message me and I would get them on the schedule, and my wife would have that spot on the schedule filled, but she hadn't put it in the system yet.
She was waiting.
And she was waiting
for whatever reason.
Or maybe she was driving and she had it written on paper. She just hadn't plugged it into the CRM yet.
You asshole, Mitch.
Yeah. And there was a day.
You son of a bitch.
There was a day where
she
flat out.
When you're sleeping.
She pulled me aside, and this was actually a date night because
pulled me aside.
Yeah. Like, like, we do date night every Wednesday night, and the first, like, usually until our meal comes, we're talking about work. And then the moment our food shows up, it's like no more work, all date night, right?
Yeah.
And so that's how we get the business to pay for date night, by the way. But
which is legal.
It's perfectly legal, right? And so there was a time where she was like, I have something I need to talk to you about at date night. And I'm like,
did she tell you early on in the day? So the whole day you're just thinking.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, she was
preparing herself to have the conversation.
Maybe.
That's what she was doing.
And she flat out told me, she was like,
Mitch is thinking
you
she's
are
leaving.
Not allowed to schedule any customers anymore. She's like, I am firing you from scheduling because all you do is fuck up my schedule. And I'm like, okay.
Okay.
Like, yes. What do I say to that? You know?
Yes, ma'am.
Like, well, yes, no. Yes, she's my wife, but she's also an employee. And here's the employee saying, stay out of my way. Like, I got this.
Bitch, don't make me fire your ass.
She did the classic negotiating trick where she tells you early on and makes you think it's this big thing.
And then,
you hear that, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, tell me.
I thought you were going to want a divorce.
Oh, God.
Well,
or he's mad. Oh, I thought you wanted a divorce.
I thought you were going to have me vacuum.
Talking about this,
you want me to do laundry? No.
Talking about the subject reminds me of that movie, The Pursuit of Happiness. Like, the dude's homeless, but, like, whenever he goes into interviews and stuff, he sells it like he's, you know, not a homeless guy or whatever, and he'll play
never
it off.
Never saw that.
Oh, really? You've never saw. Oh, it's
dude,
a great movie.
He walks into an interview and he actually, for some reason, forgets his, like, pants or doesn't have pants, and the guy's like, you know, what would you say a guy who comes in an interview with no pants? He's like, well, he must have a really good shirt.
Yeah. It is a phenomenal. It's one of my top fives.
Who's in it?
Will Smith and his son.
What you should do.
His son's a horrible actor.
Not in this movie.
Okay.
No, it's well, what you should do is you should create a list for, like, five top movies business owners should watch. That should be on the top five.
Yeah. My top two that I can think of right off the hand would be The Pursuit of Happiness and then In Good Company.
In Good Company.
Moneyball would be on there too.
Moneyball's good.
For business owners.
I don't know if it's a good business movie.
It's a good business because it forces you to think outside the box and go against mainstream.
I was going to say, like, it would network. Be good for, like, just don't give up. Like, it teaches you to not give up. Like, yeah. If your dream is this, then stick to it. Like, yep. That would be the main.
Yeah, that's you would actually, love Pursuit of Happiness. And it's you can watch it for the whole family.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah, so I saw it when I was a kid. Like, it's a clean movie.
It's awesome.
Well, there's also, too, that the topic where people who are their backs up against the wall, like, they'll work harder and they'll fight harder than anyone else. And it's almost like there's this shift where people, as they get more successful, they get more comfortable. They don't realize how comfortable they are. Oh, and so they just think that whatever they create is just, like, the best ever.
I've struggled with that all
because,
time.
But it's not because it's, like, they don't, like, maybe it's fallen because they know they're not against the wall. Well, if it doesn't work out, then, you know, I have this and this and this and this to catch me.
Yeah, I don't, like, it doesn't make me think that everything's great, but the edge is, like, you can tell when the edge is gone.
Yeah.
Like, it's something I deal with constantly.
Yep.
Like, the edge is gone. I'm 42. Like, I'm fine.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But that edge to push, like, it's a weird thing. Like, how do I want to say it? Like, it's weird to try and push yourself when that chip on your shoulder's not there anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird. So it's like you have to develop. I've talked about this in the Monday Motivationals a couple of times. Like, you have to find things that inspire you and push you.
Yeah.
Like, you have to make up your own stuff. Like, it's a weird thing.
Ironically, I'm on a meeting today I have a monthly meeting with my financial coach.
Or buy a boat that you have to pay for and it forces you to work.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Like, that's a real thing. And people do that.
Yeah.
That's a real thing.
Yeah.
I wasn't picking on you.
And so my financial coach, he and I are meeting today and we've put in a boatload of work over the last like 18 months to get things where they are currently. And he does not advise me at all in Tradewinds. Right. It's only the plumbing company side of things. But he wants updates in Tradewinds because it affects
your overall.
It's my finances.
Standards.
Right.
Yeah.
And so
he wants anything. I'll give him whatever he wants.
No. I mean, I keep him transparent and everything.
Yeah.
He actually mentioned today, he was like, good job on keeping your edge because a lot of people, once they get to a certain level of success, they cool off because it's more than they're used to.
Yeah.
And so they just get complacent and I immediately, I'm like, certain level of, I'm not successful yet. Like, I'm at the point where all I see is risk. Like, the reward is coming. It's not here yet.
No.
Because we have a lot of irons in the fire going a bunch of different directions. So.
Like
right
first
now.
First off, that's 100% true what he said. And what, like, you are successful. But not at the level that you...
Not at the level that makes me relax.
Yeah. Like,
right?
This is weird. Like, this is something...
I'm one-tenth of where I want to be.
Yeah. Like, you know...
I'm exactly one-tenth of where I want to
be. I had been struggling with some stuff, like, mm-hmm. you know, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, whatever. Like, Joey, my brother, who is completely broke... I shouldn't say that. He owes no man nothing and, like, is one of the, like, just most happy-go-lucky, doesn't care... kind of guys. Like, when I was telling him what I was going through and things I was dealing with and all this, and he's like, it's because you're out of bounds. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, dude, when you think about where we came from,
right,
and like where you are now, like, you overshot where you quote unquote should have been,
right?
And he's like, now you're lost.
Yeah.
And he was 100% right. I'm like, dude, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, there's no more edge. That's not what he said, but that's what I'm saying. There's no more edge. There's no more, like, I wasn't scared anymore that I was going to end up being like my relatives,
right.
quote unquote, you know, or whatever. Like, I had overshot all that stuff and now I was just like floating in space, like with, you know, no focus.
Yeah. And that's why, that's part of, like, for me, I'm a guy that need, like, I feed off of, and you guys probably know this, like, my love language is words of affirmation, right? So
you and your wife both.
No, hers is acts of service.
You guys affirm each other a lot.
We do.
I think you both need it.
But
I think it's a good thing.
Right.
No judgment, like, or anything. I just.
So, like, I know that about me, right?
Yeah.
You can't change it. It's ingrained.
No, it's just
in
who
you
are.
It's just who you are.
Yeah.
So I have enough stuff going on in a bunch of different areas to where every day, or every few days, I'm getting some form of affirmation, not from an individual, but like
from, you're getting accolades from the success of those individual things.
Right. Right. Yeah. Like we've recently had a couple of really cool YouTube successes, right?
Yeah. And you, and then it feeds you.
And it feeds me, right?
Yeah,
and then
spurs
we're
going to
have
on.
Some Tradewind successes, and then we'll have some Smedley Plumbing successes, yeah. and then I'll have some personal branding successes, and you do enough stuff to where you've always got a little win coming your way somewhere.
Yeah.
And it just creates the habit of winning to where winning is now all you know. And in fact, like once you do it long enough, and this is where I'm at right now, once you do it long enough, those little micro wins become your identity. And now like losing is not who you are, right?
Yeah.
And so like when a loss comes, it's immediately, where's the lesson? How do I turn this into a win?
Yeah, but
right?
you have so many things going on that it doesn't allow you to dwell on that one loss.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like if everything came in for a loss for 2 months, you'd be depressed.
Yeah.
Like that's just your person. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I do that with, because I have like the two YouTube channels. So whenever my channel is kind of dwindling, I'm like, oh, well, this video on Smedley's doing great. And whenever it's vice versa, I'm like, oh, look at my video.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just kind of started to cut you
off.
I mean,
hell,
yeah,
Austin and I were trading, Austin and I were trading screenshots a couple of days ago. Like the Smedley Plumbing YouTube channel has a video that's doing really well. And he's got a video that's doing better than any other video on his channel.
Nice.
And so it's like, we're trading screenshots back and forth of like, look at the views, look at the engagement.
Nerds.
You know? Yeah.
I love you both.
Yeah.
Nerds.
But yeah, it's not like just kind of multiple. Cause it does. Life is like that. Sometimes you kind of go through months and you're like, dude, like,
yeah,
I got no wind. Like, it's just kind of like whatever, you know, as far as business success.
I wish I was more like that. Like
you got to find them everywhere, right? You got to find them in your relationship. You got to find them with your kids.
Like that's the weird, like
find the win.
That's one of my things. Like no matter how many wins I get, like that doesn't spur me. Like I'm a little different.
It's not weird. It's not the
it's
win
okay.
that spurs me. It's the recognition of the win, right? So like Mason popping up on the wakeboard, milestone, win. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And anybody else would be like, oh, we all get up on their first time eventually. You know, it's like, no, that's a win.
Yeah. Like with Layla, it's different. Like when she has successes, like those like excite me to no end, right?
Right.
But it's like, I can't just follow her around and wait for her to win everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, the regular life
stuff. Soccer
game,
if she got a bunch of assists or she got, you know, she played well, like you're still finding the win somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's different. And that does, but it's like the regular everyday stuff.
Right.
Like for me, all of that stuff is turned down now. And I don't know. It's weird.
It's like that.
It's hard for me to explain, I guess.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. I get this kind of like unsettling thing when it comes to like my personal YouTube. It's you'll put out a video, does great, and then after about like day two or three of being like, oh, like this is awesome, you start to get the itch again, like, okay, like what's next.
Yeah.
And so it's so weird with working and stuff. Is you'll be working in something and you're like, oh, this is hard, you know, can't wait to finish this, and you finish this and you're just like, you kind of almost enjoy like working hard. And now it's just that balance of like, I'll kind of get that almost weird thing where I'm like, I gotta put a video out.
Yeah.
I've got
to do it.
I don't know if it's like that kind of artistic thing where it's like you feel like you just have to create kind of thing.
I'm sure. You know, we're at like an hour and 15.
We gotta wrap this thing up. So
I didn't realize how late it was.
We'll wrap this thing up.
I didn't start my clock till about 10 minutes late.
Guys, if you saw value in this show, if this show taught you something, please do us a favor and help share it with somebody else. Also, whatever platform you're listening on, feel free to go to that platform and give us a 5-star review. I think we've earned it. We drop a lot of free game on this show, and the least you could do is give us a 5-star review. So until next week, guys, we will see you later.
See you guys.